Chapter 6. Jeremiah and chapter 6. We have been in a study of Jeremiah, and we have arrived at chapter 6 and all the verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6. And we're going to go back into history again, back into yesterday. And we're going to go back and look at yesterday. And we're going to do so in the light of the person who already is there and was there. And so in the presence of God, who was there, who recorded it, we're going to go back and look at what he took time to write down. So we're going to read and benefit in the light of not something way distant beyond us. On the contrary, we are brought into the immediate presence of yesterday by God. Now, so we want to gain. We're going to read it that way, understand it, so that we are not as if we were there, and be the immediate beneficiaries of its truth. Now, so in the process, we shared together Nebuchadnezzar coming down ultimately to take the Jerusalem and Judah, and in the process, the Israelite people in Jerusalem and Judah have hardened their heart, and God has given them one opportunity after another to straighten it out. But they have not done so. And therefore, in verse 16, as we studied it, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, where, and see, way, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, the way to go, and walk, live, behave therein. And when you walk in the right path, in the right way, for the right reasons, in the right direction, when you do so, you're going to find a wonderful rest and refreshment. You haven't arrived, but you're in the process of going in the right direction, and therefore you reap the benefits. Now, having said that they would find rest for their souls, but they said, we will not walk therein. We will not walk. We do not intend to go. And we shared last time, just think of a light, and you're going down the highway, and there's a path, and you want to go, and you haven't been going on the right road. You don't want to keep going. I mean, you haven't been going on the right road at the moment. And so here's a path that says, here's the right way. If you keep going, this is your way. So God put a stop, stand still, stand up, stop. Now don't keep going in the wrong way. I'm going to give you, here's the way to go. And he gives you a green light, red light on your way, green light on God's way. Now he says, stand, see, look, go. And of course they did not go. They were not going to go. Therefore, the green light turned red, and the red light, to stop them from going their way, turned green. Now they're going back on their own road. And in the process, they're going down that road. And God now brings to bear the world system to bear witness of it. And thus, in the light of the fact that they would not walk, and they will not hear, verse 17, and I also set watchmen, people to watch, to observe, like a watchtower, a watchman to warn, to be a lookout. I set watchmen over you. Hearken, hear, to the point, listen, have an ear witness. Sound, hear what? Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. We're not going to hearken to the sound of the trumpet. We're not going to do so. So here's the God, the prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Haggai, Zephaniah, all of them are there. And no one's, anyone going to listen to them? No, not going to hear them, not going to hear them. And they didn't. They didn't. And the warning was sound to be like we had not too long ago out in the Midwest where the tornado hit. And they, if I remember right, the warning was able to be no earlier than 15 minutes ahead. They were told 15 minutes, remember, before the town went. 15 minutes they had. Wow. That's all. Now what happens if you didn't want to listen to that? The whistle blew and you didn't want to hear. Wow. Now, so here's the warning, the trumpets. And as they would not walk, the end of verse 16, so they would not listen, the end of verse 17. And thus, verse 18. Therefore, since you aren't going to listen, therefore, I'm going to call witnesses to listen. You remember when our Lord was going into Jerusalem on the last week before he was crucified. And as he went in on the triumphal entry, Mount of Olives coming down the hill, going into the eastern gate, and as he went through. And remember, they were all shouting, and some of them said, don't shout, and don't do that. They're throwing all kinds of things, and palm leaves and everything, as he moved down the highway, as it were. And he said, and they said, tell them to shut up, as it were. Don't get so excited. God said if they were not excited, the stones themselves will call out. The stones will be a witness to this event. Now, here's God, and God said, I want the witnesses, I want you that are witnessing this to step forward, pay attention. Verse 18, therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation. The word congregation is assembly, an audience, a band, a gang. And it's used of Israel, but it's also used elsewhere. In fact, without doing all of that, remember it is used of the word swarm, a swarm of bees in the day of the judges. A swarm, an assembly of bumblebees moving. So the word congregation, assembly, an association, a group of people. And thus, connecting to the word nation, therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, O assembly, here you are all around Israel. What is among them? What is among them? And that's three little words that boil down to what is in them. I want you to be a witness to what God is going to do to Israel. I want you to be a witness to the evil of this people and to the judgment that is going to take place. And thus, in verse 18, therefore hear ye nations and know, O congregation, witnesses, what is going to happen. I want you to see and understand what is going to happen to Israel. I want you to bear witness, like the stones would bear witness. I want you, here's all the Egypt, all of them around there, bear witness to what's going to happen to this people. They're the chosen people, but watch what's going to happen. And thus, he goes beyond them. Verse 19, hear, there's your word again, hear, O earth. Remember, they are not going to hear. They are not hearing. He tells the nations that aren't even, that they're doing whatever. He says, pay attention to what's going on there. Here in Jerusalem. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people. Trouble. Even the fruit of their thoughts. They want to go their own way down the corridor of time. I have warned them, and they have not heeded at all, because they have not the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened, heard, my word. They haven't paid attention to my words, nor to my law. My law, the word law there has to do with doctrine, teaching. The prophets taught them. The law, you were taught. You were given information. The watchman told you what God had to say and what you should know. But they weren't paying attention. And thus, in the end of verse 19, they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to the law, but rejected it. Now remember now, as you're reading, as you're looking through and looking in the process, go over to where you don't have to go very far to see it, chapter 6 and in verse 1. Chapter 6, verse 1, ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem. Remember we said the sequence all the way down to Tekoa. And blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in Beth-Hakkeim, for evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. So the trumpet blew, and every time, you can go back to chapter 2 and 3 and 4, and they blow the trumpet. Anyone listen to the trumpet? The alarm sounds? No. So what? So what's that noise? What is that noise? They know what it is, but they don't want to heed, hear. They don't want to take alarm and pay attention to it. They don't want to do it. They are not going to go down the right road. They're going down the wrong road. That's what they're choosing to do. Now, in the light of that, over if you would please, and in chapter 6 and in verse 19, they have not hearkened to my words, nor to the law, but they have rejected it. Now, the word rejected has to do with to repudiate something, to refuse, to be contemptuous about something. And the base word for all the other words that come out of it, languages, is to thrust away, push away, push it away, to reject something. Push away, thrust, and thus reject, refuse, etc. Now, that's the word translated. So they reject, they pushed away the law. They didn't want to hear what the prophet said. You remember in Amos, they told Amos, the prophet, don't speak to us anymore. Go out and talk to the cockroaches out there in the woods. Don't speak to us. We don't want to hear those words anymore. And you know what? They didn't. You don't want to say that. Because then God turns it off. And you wish you never said that. God, I don't want to read and know what it says. Boom! And what happens? You may never open that Bible again. Wow. I was thinking it on the way over. I said, you know, if we didn't do this little exercise, think how much, what it would be like if we were out there. And day after day, and week after week, we never read and developed any understanding. We'd be biblically illiterate. And we'd be content, never hearing anything and never understanding even there was a Jeremiah. It wouldn't even exist for us. Our whole world would be missing God and His Word for us. Totally missing. And I said, boy, we don't want that to happen. Wow. Now, here in, let's go and see how it works. Remember now, they are not going to walk. They're not going to hear and heed God's warnings. They're not going to hear and heed God's word. They're not going to honor God's law, His teaching, His instruction. They are not going to do that. So now, God has to help us. So would you please go with me on a little journey? Because what the problem is that they do not want God and His governing and His government. They do not want that. They do not want that. Now I'd like to follow that up in the light of the word rejection. Over if you would please to 1 Samuel chapter 2. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, you know, with Eli the priest, he's not the priest he should be. His sons certainly are not. And therefore, God makes this statement that you would recall. It's a key, universal, eternal statement of truth. No matter when you live, it'll be like that. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 30. Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. That's the priesthood. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Age-old principle. Now, Eli, you did not honor me. Your sons do not honor me. I honor those who honor me. The rule of thumb, honor me, and I'll honor you. No matter where you live, how you live, whenever, as long as you honor God, God will honor you. You make light and little of God, God will make light and little of you. Wonderful truth. Now, go from there, if you would. Over in your Bible, to 1 Samuel, look at it, try to follow it. 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And you recall, remember, Israel wants to have a king like the other nations. They don't want to. Samuel is the last judge after Samson. He's the last judge. No more judges. He's the last one. And they don't want any more judges. Samuel's enough. Now, chapter 8, picking up, please, directly if I can, in verse 5. They said unto him, Samuel, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. We want to be like the Philistines and the Egyptians and everyone else. Verse 6. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not, there's your word, rejected, to renounce, to push away. They have not rejected you, Samuel. They have rejected, same verb, they have rejected me, said God. Why did they reject God? That I should not reign over them. They do not want my wonderful government. They do not want it. They want a system, not my government. And then it goes on, as you know, as you read, God tells them what's going to happen when you want a government like the world. You're going to get taxed and abused, and there's corruption. There's everything. If you want that a government like the world, you're going to have one. And they did. They did. Now, and thus God warned them. Otherwise, God would have been their wonderful king in a most glorious way. Now, over to chapter 10. Chapter 10 of Samuel. And in verse 19. And you have said this day, remember now they're looking for a king still. You have said this day, rejected, there's your verb, your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And you have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now, therefore, present yourself before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. Verse 25. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in the book. Remember, I just mentioned it, chapter 8, what it's going to be like. The manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. So they're forewarned, warned, trumpet blows, pay attention. You want a king? This is what you're going to get. Are you ready? And so now the procedure continues. And so King Saul comes along, chapter 15. King Saul is head and shoulders above the Israelites, and he is thus noted. 1 Samuel chapter 15. May I pick up the thought in verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over this his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Listen to him. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which the Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Remember, they came in, snuck in the back, and took out all the weak children, people first. Verse 3. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and sucking ox, and sheep, camel, and ass. Do the whole thing. The disease is there. Disease is every part. So you say, well, I don't want to cut off the hand. It's black, disease, black gangrene. But don't cut off my elbow up here, up my top, my arm. It isn't too bad. No, it's already there. You've got to go to the end of the cancer. Go to the end. Cut it. And it's in everything. Everything the Amalek has is contaminated. Thus, sliding chapter 15, with that in mind, Saul went and did what? You remember? He spared Agag the king and the best of the sheep, verse 9, and the oxen and the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good and would not, N-O-T, utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuge, that they destroyed utterly. In other words, stuff they thought and didn't want was no good. They were willing to destroy that, but they didn't want to destroy that which was profitable to them. And thus, they're in trouble. And so Saul's in trouble. And then, therefore, sliding down if I can, but time, verse 22. Now remember, Saul goes and sacrifice and all that. And verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken. Hearken. But they wouldn't hearken, remember Jeremiah 6? They aren't going to hearken. They don't want to hear. Hearken, better to listen than sacrificing animals. I want you to obey. Verse 3, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected, there's your word, pushed away, the word of the Lord. He also, God also has rejected, pushed thee away from being king. So Saul lost his wonderful position as king of Israel. And in the process, verse 26, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected, the same word, rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. So Saul is all finished. It's all over. He is going to be removed from his king. He has rejected God's word, rejected God. His heart was hard. He didn't heed. He didn't hear. And thus he's going to pay a price. Over, if you would please, in the light of that, in chapter 15, picking up, please, in verse 35. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. It didn't turn out good, but God knew that in the beginning. He didn't want him to be king. Hang on. Chapter 16. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have refused, pushed him away? from reigning over Israel. Fill thou thy horn with oil, and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. So here we are looking, and Saul is put aside, and God has chosen another. And in the process, back over to chapter 13, which you know, chapter 13, and picking up again in verse 14, and now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And so Saul put aside, but there is a man whose heart lines up after, in accord with the standard of God's own heart. He wants God's heart. He wants God's will. He honors God's person. He yields to the Creator. He yields to the sovereign God. He yields to the King. He yields to the God of gods. And he yields. He bends. He bows. He honors God. Them that honor me, I will honor. Them that despise me, I will despise. I found a man who honors me. Who honors me. And he chose David. So when you come back over to chapter 16, in chapter 16, you would recall, in verse 7, and remember, he's looking at Eli. Here's the seven sons of Jesse. Eli's the biggest, whatever. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, his outer appearance, or on the height of his stature, because he was big, because I have refused, the word refused, rejected. I've rejected him. I did. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance. The Lord looketh on the heart. God's looking at the heart. And God, you got the, and that's why it ends up, you know, as you keep reading, that they had to go and find the youngest and the lowest and the littlest and the nothing. Beautiful, wonderful, ruddy complexion, everything. Wow! That was the man. God found a man who heart would honor God. And how did he know? You remember the wonderful sequence, don't you? That he went. And little David out there with the least sheep. Everyone had prestigious positions, power, possessions, representing the house of Jesse. And David just had a little bunch of sheep out in the backside of the desert. David, you're nobody. Ah. And what's a few sheep? Not much. But David would kill a lion and kill a bear to protect the sheep. God found a man. God found a man who would pay a price. Wow. Now, hang on. Wow. He has a man. That's right. Now, so, David, you become the man. That's right. Over to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 2. In 1 Kings chapter 2, picking up, if I may, remember now David. David is God's man. And David is a standard. Standard for the kings. Chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Kings 2, 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, to keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, reason that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, wherever soever thou turnest thyself. Remember, if you would, Joshua chapter 1, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Wherever you go, I'll bless you. Wherever you go. Solomon, if you honor God, wherever you go, God will bless you. Now, verse 3. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, keep his statutes, etc. Verse 4. That the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, David, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart, with all their soul, they shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the house, on the throne of David. Not one man. Chapter 3 of Kings. And here's Solomon. How did he do? Chapter 3, verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places, and he got all involved with everything. But he loved David, but he also got a whole lot of stuff that shouldn't be. And he got all entangled with it, as we read the other day. Now, in the light of that, verse 9. So Solomon now is about to step onto the throne as king, and thus his prayer, and God honored it. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And God honored. Solomon said, I can't handle the job. David, I'm not David. That's what he said, I'm not David. I can't handle that job. I'm a young person. He said, I'm not able to do this. And God gave him. That's why you read Solomon. No one else in all of history can match him. Because he could talk in any subject. Any subject. Biology, geology, whatever you want. He could talk about it. Wow. Wow. And God gave it to him marvelously. And thus, chapter 3, verse 14. And if thou walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then will I lengthen thy days. And so Solomon has all the days and he has an admonition to look to God. He's given great privilege and ability to govern, to rule, and given peace for 40 years because of David. Over, if you would please, to chapter 11. 1 Kings 11. Move quickly to get the where I want to go. I want you to get the pieces so you can follow it. 1 Kings chapter 11, how did Solomon do? For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. And he wasn't in the same sense, the same way as David at all. First Kings chapter 15. Remember, here I'm just going to give you a sample. Here's all the kings, northern and southern, and here's Abijam over Judah. I'm going to slide down to verse 4 to get the thought. Verse 3. I'll even read verse 3. For he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect, not N-O-T, perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. So everyone, God is going to judge everybody. Is your heart like your David? Is your heart like David's? Is your heart like David's? What do they want to know? Do you have a heart that will honor me? Now, and thus, verse 4, nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him, Rehoboam, to establish Jerusalem. So God honored David, and Solomon is going to reap the benefits of all of that in what he does and says. Now, and in verse 6, remember now, and there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life, because they were each doing their own thing in their own way, and they had left God out. So things aren't going well with the 10 tribes in the north, ultimately the Assyrian captivity, and the 2 tribes in the south, Jerusalem, Judah, Benjamin, and it isn't going to go well in the Babylonian captivity. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea is looking at the 10 tribes in the north, and he sees their captivity and looks into the Babylonian to follow. Hosea chapter 4. And may I pick up, please? You know, we read the other day, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. Why? For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Why? Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Aren't we in Israel? Do they understand? No, they don't. Over, if you would, to verse 6. 4 and 6. My people are destroyed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why is there a lack of knowledge? Because thou hast rejected, refused, pushed away knowledge. You didn't want to know. Jeremiah chapter 6, they don't want to know. They don't want to know. Don't want to know. Back in Assyrian captivity, why are you guys going to have the 10 tribes taken captive by Assyria? Because you don't want to know. And thus, verse 6, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also, same verb, reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. And so now, here we are looking at history, and Assyria is going to come and take the northern 10 tribes. Now, in doing so, Hosea looks past that to Jerusalem and Judah, and Nebuchadnezzar is ultimately going to come. So back over, if you would, in Hosea chapter 13. And you'll recall Hosea chapter 13. May I go directly in chapter 13, picking up in verse 1. And Ephraim spake, trembling. That's the 10 tribes in the north, exalting himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made molten images of their silver, and idols according to their own understanding. Their own, that's where idols, religion comes from, our own thinking, in some form or fashion. And we all follow whatever someone else is thinking often. All of it, the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. In other words, we're really going to get involved in our dedication, our commitment to whatever it is we're following, but it isn't God. We're going to get caught up in it. Thus in chapter 13, verse 4, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. Thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Where are you going to go? If I leave God out, where do you go? The way to remember that, just think of your Bible, God, close it, and put it aside. Where are you going to get to God? Where is there a Savior? Where is there a solution? Where? Where? Atheism? Agnosticism? Religion? Where do you want to go? Allah? Buddha? You have nothing. There's only one God and only one Savior. Now, I keep reminding us, because we don't. It's so simple if we just pay attention objectively to reality. Now, and thus, verse 5, I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to thy pasture, according to what you wanted to eat, you didn't want to eat good food, so I gave you your own food. So you were filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted, therefore have they forgotten me. Now, sliding down, and God's going to deal with them. Now, skipping, if I can, to verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I am able to rescue you. But they weren't going to walk, they weren't going to hear, they weren't going to heed, they weren't going to honor his word, his law. Jeremiah chapter 6, they aren't going to do that. Well, then you're going to pay a price for it. Verse 9, again. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will, verse 10, I will be thy king. You remember rejected me. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? That's what we just said in a different way. Where are you going to find some help? Find some. Look in the smartphone. Go to the internet. Read books. Where are you going to find it? Travel to Tibet. The High Lama. Wow. Where are you going to go? Verse 10. I will be thy God. Where is any other that will save thee in all thy cities? And thy judges, of whom thou saidest, give me a king. Remember 1 Samuel 8. Give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in mine anger, and I took him away in my wrath. The reason you got King Saul is because I was angry with you, and I took him away in my greater anger. If you think I gave you King Saul because I wanted him to be king, you're wrong. I gave you that in judgment. Wow. Okay, if I may, overskipping chapter 14 quickly. I'm going to go, remember, they're going to say, they're going to get their heart right eventually. Verse 3, Asher, that's Assyria, shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Remember, they were looking for Assyria to help them. Then they had to go from Assyria to help them to get Egyptian cavalry, Egyptian army to help them against Syria, and that didn't work. Wow. Asher will not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. We are our gods. We're our own system. We're going in our own way for our own reasons to reap whatever we're going to reap. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal, verse 4, their backsliding. I will love them freely for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as a lily and have roots as Lebanon tree. Little flower, so plentiful in the field. A little flower that has roots of a giant tree. Wow. I'm going to do that for you. And I'm going to have every night the dew softly fall and moisten you and wet you, water you every night. Wow. Now, God said, I'm going to do it. Hang on. And Israel, you know what? You just, if you'd honor him, he would honor you. But you, Israel, in Jerusalem, Judah, you are not going to do that. So, nations, ground, mountains, valleys, rivers, pay attention to what's going to happen to my chosen people. I want you to be witnesses. The reason they are going to get it is because they have rejected me. I'm the only God, the only Savior, I'm their King. There is no other. Now, hang on. And pick up some more. Wonderful. Verse 8, Ephraim, that's the northern tribes for Israel, shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him, said God. I have observed him. I am like a green fir tree. A fir is a kind of leafy cypress tree. Think of a leafy cypress tree, great big cypress tree, bending down. Here you are under the tree. And the tree bends down to you, bends down and comes down in your direction to you, bends down towards you. Ah. Now, I am like, said God, a green fir tree, cypress tree. From me is thy fruit found. I am going to bend down, and I am going to be merciful to you and gracious, and all of the good, and all of the grace, and all of the good, all of the grandeur that you have is going to be for me. I'm the source as I bend down towards you. I'm going to be the source of your wonderful blessing. Israel, it's going to take the tribulation And we're going to have, they're going to have to go through it to know that. They could have known it. And thus, oh, why not? And verse 9, while we're looking at it, who is wise and shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right and just, and the just, the righteous, shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. God, we're looking to you, and Israel is God. We want to learn. We want to get understand a basic. They just wouldn't walk. They wouldn't hear. They wouldn't heed. They weren't going to pay attention to your word, to your law. They aren't going to do it. They aren't going to do it. God said, then watch what will happen. Because if you eliminate all that which would help and save you, what do you have left? What do you have left? Wow. So now, over, please. Go with me, Jeremiah, if you would, chapter 31. Now remember, God, remember Israel, they have no heart. That's their problem. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. When the Ten Commandments, when they gave the Ten Commandments, God said, you have no heart. David had a heart. They had no heart. They had no heart. What are you looking for? I'm looking for the heart. The heart, not the head. Not their IQ or their whatever. I'm looking for their heart. Little old heart. We all have them. Wow. Now, Jeremiah 31, God, what are you going to do? You guarantee it. It's a wonderful future. Absolutely. Chapter 31, and in verse 33, all of it's great. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, that I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And sun, moon, stars, as long as you see the sun, moon, and stars every day, Israel, I'm going to keep my word. After you read this, there's no way that you're going to, the church can become Israel. No way on this earth. No way. Not on this earth. Maybe some other earth, but not this one. Now, over to chapter 32. Chapter 32. If I may, picking it up again. It's all over again. Wow. Verse 39. And I will give them one heart and one way, and they shall, and that they may fear me forever for the good of them and for their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will not turn away from them to do them good. But I will put my fear in their hearts. Why? That they may not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. I will plant them in the land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul, said God. I'm going to give all of myself, my wonderful person, to the project. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. I'm going to do it. I'm going to wonderfully do it. Now, over to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. You remember now. We did it the other day. We were there. And picking up, if I may, verse 8, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I'll fill it like a little bird, and I'll feed and fill your heart. My people would not, but my people would not hearken. There's your problem. They would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel would have walked in my ways. Israel would not. God would have. Verse 16. I would have fed them with the finest of wheat and with honey out of the rock, and I should have satisfied them. I would have done that. I would have done that. But you know, I told them to stop and go with the green light, but they said they're not going down that road. And they never got this. They're going to get it, but not yet. And you know when you're closing over, why not? We'll turn there in closing over to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. Our Lord to Israel. You remember it. Chapter 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them, which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her children under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Now, I would have, but you wouldn't. How does that fit for us? God says, I would have for you. And we, without knowing it, have said, no, we will not. Is that possible for us? That we have said no too often when God said, I would have. And we don't know. We're all people going to church all over the world and that stuff. And they're down, and is there, where is the wonderment of God? And all of this stuff that's so awesome. God would have, but they would not. And the principle, them that honor me, I will honor. And them that despise me, I will treat lightly. Wow. What a wonderful thing, isn't it? Well, it's a great thing. And God, thank you. Thank you for recording it for us. Thank you for having it there. So that we can learn. Here we are, and we have the advantage. We're certainly ahead of David. If we want it, we got it. Wow. Wow. Anyway, you might have a particular prayer request. Remember the fun night coming up, the outreach, the children, flyers are back there. Remember to pray for that.